Welcome to the Brownline Church Podcast. My name is Vince Brackett. I am one of the pastors at Brownline Church. And if you are hearing this, I am on sabbatical right now with my family and away from the community for about 8 weeks of rest and recovery and trying to listen to God in a way that is outside of the weekly responsibilities of normal life. If you are somebody who has given financially to Brownline Church at some point, I am so grateful because it is your donations and gifts that allow our church to function at all and for the financial board to be able to offer me something as wonderful and humanizing as a sabbatical. So thank you. Here's our most recent Sunday message. Let us know what you think in Discord or shooting us an email, brownlinechurch@gmail.com, or share it with a friend if it helps you.
Hi, everybody. As we get settled up here, just a reminder, there's no kids' church today, but there is a really fun stained glass coloring activity in the back for kids. For adults, if you want to go in color while you're hanging out here. So there are like paint sticks and things like that, and those will continue to get hung up on the curtain behind us to kind of decorate this, and we will get to turn the Davis into more of a church kind of feel. So that activity is there. But it's so fun to have you up here, Teal. I mean, you're up here often, but kind of over here. Welcome to the table.
I always wanted to be on the Brownline Church podcast.
Now you get to be. Yeah. So this morning, we are continuing in our summer series around embracing beliefs. We've been talking about this process of examining beliefs that have grown in our lives in really beautiful ways, beliefs that encourage us and give us hope and offer us something to hold on to. And it's really fun that these conversations this summer get to involve members of our community. And as always, if you want to add your own stories and questions and anecdotes in the chat on Discord, we would love to hear reflections from you all as well as we chat about beliefs. So this morning, Teal and I will be chatting about music and worship. So Teal, could you start us off by talking a little bit about your beginnings with music? How did you get started?
Yeah. My grandma was kind of a hippie. She played in a rock band like in the 60s. And so she played guitar a little bit, and she had like a Beatles songbook that was like all the songs and the chords, and she would play the chords and we would sing them together. So I grew up singing a lot in the car with my mom and singing Carole King and just singing loud. But then I didn't really start playing guitar until eighth grade. My dad was just kind of like, hey, maybe you should try lessons. And I was like, oh, sure. And then like, it was a good thing I did that. I started playing almost right away. Once I learned a little bit, I started playing in church pretty quickly after that. And that was kind of my first time playing in front of people, was in the church setting. So I've been doing that for a while.
Yeah. What were some kind of key moments for you as a musician growing up or even up until now? Have there been moments where you've just been really settled into who you are as a musician?
Yeah, I think that having like starting off at playing at church, it does funny ego stuff where you're like, this is my time to shine, because I'm like, but then I think as time goes on, once I got some, it was really healthy and good for me to have other outlets to like perform, music rather than lead worship. So then I was like, when I would be leading worship, I wouldn't be like bringing that kind of side of me into it, because it is kind of a different thing, like to lead a group and sing songs together than like having your time to like perform your craft. And I noticed like, when I started leading at like a church as an adult, some of the musicians that I would have join me, like they would maybe play their electric guitar solos a little too loud and a little too long of solos, and like just had like brought in that ego into it. And I was like, oh, I think I do that too. And like, really, we need to make sure we have other spaces to like, play music so that we're like, this church isn't the only place where we have to come and play, or else we're going to bring all that ego into it. it's impossible to not bring some of that into it. But I think that was a big kind of learning curve for me, is like, and once I had other outlets, then it didn't feel like as much of a thing. But that's definitely that was a part of the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can remember, I grew up leading worship at my church as well from a pretty young age. And my first exposure to that was church musicals. Super cool. And the first time that I had a solo in a church musical, I just felt like, this is my time to shine. I have peaked here. Like, this is great. Wow. And it is that like funny ego thing of like, even when you're young, it's hard to be in a staged setting and have a microphone and everything and not have that ego be a huge part.
I mean, it's kind of a beautiful thing in a way to give kids a chance to like show their gifts. But as an adult, you start to kind of like wrestle with some of that. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. And then what, I'm just curious, what different settings between those early days and now have you led worship in?
Yeah. So I was playing guitar through high school, at the church, United Methodist Church, where my mom and sister and I grew up going to, and, really involved there. And then we started like a youth praise band that was really terrible.
I remember trying. I feel like that's a universal church kid experience is a really awful youth praise band.
And I always really kind of hated the music like that we played like in church, really. Like, so I was always trying to like bring, I remember trying to like change the words to Snow Patrol songs to try to make them into worship songs or like Coldplay songs or whatever. And it's like, can we do something different than the, but then in college, I was a big fish in a small pond in small town Kansas. And then I moved to Chicago and went to North Park, where Haley went also. And, I don't know if you felt this, but it was more of a gospel / CCM, contemporary worship band. And it was a lot higher, production, higher skill level, and it blew me away. I remember that first college life service just being like, oh, this is something different, like gospel music, like that really hit me. That was the first time I'd really heard that. And then the next year I got into the worship team, but I was definitely the worst player on the whole band. Like, I was very trying to keep up with the chords, and that was a really good experience for me too, because it was a very different style. And I started, the music all was appealing to me. The songs were more appealing than the stuff that I had been playing in my church growing up. But led in my own church in Evanston after college for a few years, and then at Jesus People for 7 years leading there. So then when Vince asked me about this, I was at that point, I was very much in a deconstruction phase, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll ask around. I have some friends who might take the job. I was the last person on my mind to put to lead worship, because I was in a very funny place. So it's funny that we're here now. And when Haley told me what we were talking about, I was like, she was like, yeah, we're gonna talk about your views on worship. I was like, oh no, I'm gonna talk myself out of this job by what I believe or don't know. And so but it's been a good thing to kind of work through some of this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to come back to the gospel and music stuff in a bit. But I'd love to, so based on our conversation that we had a couple weeks ago, I would love to kind of chat through some different areas of belief around music and worship as we get into this. So the first belief is that music brings together community. So could you talk about what that has looked like in your life? Music bringing together community.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that in hindsight, looking back on my growing up in the church and everything, that community really was the thing that I liked about church. Community and kind of a community surrounding around some positive value systems, like we should treat each other well and we should think about the poor and do things that help the community. And it was all the time, really, the services I did not care about. It was everything outside of the Sunday morning service, like the time of eating donuts afterwards and talking to people. I loved, I was always enjoyed talking to the old ladies at church and in youth group and getting together and doing life together in that way was always the part that spoke to me. So So I think, you know, music is a very like binding agent of for community, like, because everybody, pretty much everybody likes music, and it has a, it kind of goes in between the what words can't really capture, and it's kind of a mysterious force, and I think it just has a way of calming people. Bringing people together, and it's fun. It's really powerful to sing together. And even though I didn't really maybe know what the songs were about, or I don't know if I believed in a lot of the things we were singing about in church necessarily, I didn't think much about it. I was just kind of like, it's fun to sing together, and it seems to bring a lot of joy to everybody. And that's a good thing to do. And it's not happening. It's pretty rare in the world outside of religious settings to like come together and sing songs. And so that was always the part that really made me like feel alive. Less about the like we're coming to praise our Lord and Savior. Like I don't think I've really fully understood what that meant, or like why we would need to do that. Why God would want us to like pray, like to sing, sit around and sing nice songs about God, seemed like a strange thing for God to want from us. But more like I'm sure God is. Likes the fact that we're getting together and are like helping one another, and so that was always the biggest part for me about music.
Yeah. There's a term that we've used before, collective effervescence, that I really love. That's talking about the spirit of what you're saying, this gathering, this singing together, the music that speaks beyond what words can really accomplish. When they talk about collective effervescence of people gathering, it's often music settings in different religious settings that are cited as a really powerful version of that.
So
it is this unifying force. I'm curious too if we can go back a little bit to your comments on gospel music and this idea of community and music and gospel music and how your process of encountering gospel music has shaped you.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of like any movie that you watch, you are inspired by the character if they've been through a lot, right? And then when they make it through, or when they beat the bad guy or whatever, then it's like you have that feeling of like, wow, he made it, or she made it. They made it through. And I think that story is rendered pretty powerless if, you know, their only problem was that they like didn't get a parking spot at Walmart, or if like, you know, like, and so I think that, you know, growing up in a pretty privileged environment, you know, I think that sometimes rendered the power of like even the gospel in general a little bit like weak in my mind. Like, I don't even know like why we need God. But when I heard gospel music the first time, I was like, oh, like this is the story of the gospel, of like this is why the gospel matters, and I could see what it means to people who've been through something. And you know, not to say that we're all going through stuff, like, but there's something about you know the an entire people being freed from slavery is a lot different than like, you know, one person's individual problems, and I think the music that comes from that is very profound because of it. And so when you hear it, even if you didn't go through that, you feel that, you know, just like when you hear a song, if somebody sings it from there, if they wrote the song and they wrote it about something they really went through, even if they don't have a great voice, like you can feel it, it's a better song. It has a bigger impact than if some song is written by an AI bot or written by a team of, you know, managers trying to make money. That song isn't going to be as powerful. It's the songs that people really, it's about their struggle. And so I think that makes gospel music the most powerful music in the world because of how much it means. And so I'm hesitant to comment on it any more than that, because it's like, it's very much, you know, not my topic of expertise, but I felt the impact of that. And I think in a way it made me less selfish about my deconstruction process of like, I don't even know if I believe in God, and I don't like this and that. It's like, I had experiences with people who were like, I don't know what you're talking about, but God saved my life. So I need God to be real, or else what is happening, you know? And I think, so there's a privilege privilege plays a factor in that. And I think that like has helped me just like be a little less like, I don't know, a little less self-centered when in my process. Like the gospel and God and Jesus, it means something different to each of us. And so to not like kick out people's like foundations that is like holding their, is like powered their whole life. And so I think that's been an important part of the process for me.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that wrestling with what you believe can be such an internal process, but then when you're brought together in community through music or through whatever unifying experience you're having, it's so decentering to realize, A, people are wrestling in very different ways and coming to very different conclusions, yeah. But B, the places where you're uncertain might be another person's space of like confidence and security and peace. Yeah. And so that's a really huge gift of doing this in community, is that the gaps of where you are often filled in by another person that you're gathered with.
Yeah,
the privilege piece is so important too. In her book, This Here Flesh, Cole Arthur Riley talks about this obsession with triumph that we have in our culture often, especially from white people, that this idea of like you climb a mountain and you take a picture at the top and like I like made this, I conquered this mountain. Like sometimes people will say those phrases like, yeah, I conquered this.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so much more powerful what you're saying here of stories about the journey versus stories about the full triumph.
Yeah.
Because the idea of deliverance and hope and something beyond your current struggle is way more powerful when you're actually on the journey than when you're sitting at the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think all of this just revolves around too why we're so careful with music here. That music for community has the power to express values and the most important things, because often you'll leave here and you won't remember half of what I said. You might not remember like a tenth of what I said, but you'll have songs stuck in your head. You'll be walking to your car or to the train or to your bike singing Sweet River. Yeah, like it's gonna be stuck in your head, or throughout some point in your week it's gonna come back to you. And so that I think is one of the beautiful things about worship, is it's just this constant reminder that's super accessible to people.
Yeah, and I would say that that's been something very refreshing about being at Brown Line. I'm a pretty tough critic on church, I would say. I've like most church spaces, if I'm in a service, I'm feeling like anxious and just like, what is this person on the mic gonna say? And like, and it's just from being in spaces for too long that I didn't really like, that I didn't feel like kind of didn't feel right for me. And I realized kind of through our conversations a couple weeks ago, is like the thing that gets me is like often the presumptuousness, I don't know if that's a word, of like worship leaders and pastors. Often it's just like they'll say things that are like very like, to me, just like, wow, that's not just what you believe. You're saying we should all believe this thing. So it's kind of like Mike was saying during the announcements, like it's a space where like, you know, there's a lot of different ways to experience God, obviously. And it's kind of, you know, using music as a metaphor, it's like, who could come up and define this is what this song means for all of us? It's like, that's the whole purpose of music, right? Is that like, we all can hear the same song and come away with a completely different kind of inspiration and feeling. And so, you know, how much bigger should God be than a song, you know, that like we should all be, if God is this like, you know, infinite creator, like we should all be experiencing it in different ways. And it's just kind of silly and strange and kind of insane to like make these bold sweeping statements like God's presence is here right now. And raise your hands if you can feel that right now. You know what I mean? Like these kind of things that if you don't feel it in the same way as whoever's speaking, then you're just like, okay, you know, like it's just a very like, it can make you feel shame or like I must be doing something wrong. And I think it comes from a place where we want it either comes, at worst, comes from a place of power, like often, right? We want everybody to know that this is the only way to like experience God so that we have control over everybody. But at best, you know, it's a tribal thing. We want to feel like we are all experiencing the same thing so that we can kind of feel togetherness in that. But I think that it's a heart, maybe there's more nuance to that, and that you can actually have community amongst like different perspectives and experiences. And even the way that Mark came up and invited us to pray is, I loved the way he said it. Because it's, you can just water everything down and be like, well, what is prayer? We talked about like prayer is anything that like I can pray in the way I drink my water. But it's just like that it's not that we need to take away meaning from everything, right? Like prayer is a very powerful thing, practice. And Mark clearly like has had powerful experiences from praying. And the way he said that is like, I've experienced this. And that I want to keep hearing that from people. It's not that I don't want to hear anybody say like, prayer is really cool, because I need that. I need to hear that. But I don't need to hear like, and now everybody, make sure you're praying 3 times a week. And like, how's your prayer life? And that kind of like, this kind of prescribed, like, this is what everybody needs to do with prayer. It makes me just like shrivel up inside. And I think that Brownline has been the first space in a long time that I didn't feel that feeling, both in the songs that are chosen and the words that are spoken up here. And I think it's a really beautiful thing. And so I took the job kind of like hesitantly, just like, okay, make a little bit of money and it's progressive, so it won't be too bad. But like, I was really like surprised, and I've been very happy to just feel like, oh, I can be in a church space that doesn't make me shrivel up inside is like a really beautiful thing. And I more importantly, I see how important it is for all of you and so many different types of people that are in this space. And I think it's because of that thoughtfulness. And so for me, that's what makes it bridge the gap for me with music, that I can like come and I don't have to sing anything that I don't believe. It's not that we're coming to like just give God a bunch of compliments, because God is like sitting up there and needs our praise to like feel special, because that just seems like such a silly concept to me. But that like we're coming together to sing because we're just happy to have been created and to be alive and to be able to be together. We are grieving like what's going on in the world and what's going on in our lives, and we need like music is just a powerful way to process both the joy and the sorrow, and and it transcends a lot of things. And so I think it's a really powerful thing to do, and that to me is a worthwhile reason to get together and sing songs, and I'm happy to facilitate that. It's a lot better reasoning for me than like we need to come and give God some praise, which I realize both those can be the same thing, but that give God the praise has a connotation because of everything else we've been talking about that just doesn't like make sense to me.
Yeah, this goes well into our next belief that I want to talk about. This belief is that there is a peace that comes from being fully who you are, being the fullness of who you are. Mm-hmm. Have you felt that kind of in your own, I guess, transformation through music and leading worship? Have you felt some of that pressure to be a certain type of worship leader or say certain things on the microphone and all of that?
Yeah, I think that I was just doing what everybody else was doing. Like, this is what you're supposed to say between songs. You're supposed to get your prayer voice and say, all right, God, just be, and say the word just a lot, just as they you just. And so I would kind of like do what I was modeled to me, you know. And and the truth is that some of those people that model that might have been like actually what they're experiencing, right? It gets weird when we try to like we just become kind of a facsimile of things that we've seen, and it's not really like coming from within. And so I think that it's been really nice to like let go of like, I don't need to be any of those things. Like, I don't need to be anything. I can just be exactly who I am and believe. I don't need to. I think I was trying to believe the right things for so long, and like thought like, well, if I just fake it till I make it, it'll just kind of eventually I'll believe those things, or I'll experience prayer in that way, or I'll I'll have my special raise my hands moment in worship and all, but I just never felt that. I never felt it the way I thought I was supposed to. And so letting go of that in the last 4 or 5 years has been really special, just like relaxed, just very peaceful experience. And it's a beautiful thing. And I wanna, so I'm very careful. I try to be very careful from the mic, like, you know, when I'm leading, to not really say too much about what you should be feeling, what anybody else should be feeling about the song or about God, but just like maybe share a story from my own life and, you know, whatever, and just make people feel like they can come into the space and sing. And but like the, yeah, I'm very like a pendulum swing away from that presumptuous kind of like, and this is what this song means, and this is what we're singing about, and this is who God is, because I think that's just limiting and not helpful. And so, yeah, that experience for me has been huge, to just let go of all that.
Yeah. How do you feel like that experience has kind of shaped your identity, even beyond music, like fully who you are as a person, this yeah. kind of process of closing the gap of what you should be, who you should be, and just being who you actually are?
Yeah. It kind of is... my whole, like, all the parts of my life, are in a way, I think that it gives space to actually think about what I believe about God once I finally can let go of all the things I was supposed to believe, to actually think about, well, what am I really saying? It's like kind of cleared the obstacles out of the way. And I think stuff that's come up, like what I've talked about, is like nature, like seeing... like taking my cues from creation, from rivers and mountains, and from people, obviously, just like really like seeing like, well, this is, for me, this is what speaks to me, is like paying attention to what's around me, to God's creation, and being like, there's something in the design of, like, we were clearly designed to want to be together because we like it. And we're designed to sing songs because it brings so much joy, and so let's lean into those things. So yeah, I think it's in my whole life just let me, as soon as I started relaxing, I started having more space to think about what I actually believe instead of trying to believe what I'm supposed to believe. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I love the nature imagery that gets brought in. We were recently traveling out to New England to see my family. And my mom loves to walk the beach and find sea glass. She loves collecting sea glass. And so I love doing that too and finding all these little treasures. And I was walking with my son, Oliver, who's about to turn 4. And we were looking for things. And I got excited because I found a piece of sea glass. I was like, look how beautiful it is. And he was like, yeah, but look at this rock. And it was covered in seaweed, like it was just hanging off of it, and it I don't know, I would look at it and be like, okay, it's a rock, like, awesome, or like, yeah, it's a little, like, I wouldn't necessarily want to pick that up and like stick it in my pocket and take it home. But there was something about, for that, for him, like, he loved that and was so excited about it. And so I think that it's such a great metaphor for how we experience music and art and things like that, that some person might look at something and say, oh my gosh, this is beautiful and I'm feeling all of these things. And another person might say, oh, I'm not really, I don't have that emotional experience. And we don't get mad at that person for feeling differently or believing differently. It's just a recognition that we're different.
Yeah.
And there's all these opportunities then to expand compassion, even if you can't fully understand. But we get carried by other people's beliefs too, and that's a really powerful thing.
Yeah, it's great.
So then the last belief that I want to talk more about, and this one might be more like most directly connected to spirituality, is the idea of holding things loosely. Mm-hmm. So this phrase came up as we were chatting. Can you say more about what you mean by hold things loosely?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I kind of already talked about the trying not to be presumptuous about who God is. And so I think it's that, basically, it's the opposite of that. It's, like everything really, like But I think it's really the middle ground that's like fascinating to me, because we can, like I said, we can just say like, well, everything is God and everything is prayer. And but I actually think it's important to like say like what's working for each of us. And some of us have like decades of experience of a practice of meditation or prayer or reading scripture or whatever it might be that has really helped us live our lives and grow. And so like we need to lead each other in those things, and we need to like, it's good to do that. I think, but the ability to hold that, I think that it does, like a lot of it is held up by this, like whatever the foundation of our theology is. If we believe that, you know, there's a hell, a literal hell that we'll go to if we don't do it right, then that's hard to hold things loosely.
The stakes are so high.
So it really is important to, I think that is such a hard thing to get around. But if you have a easier foundation to build from, if you're like not scared of God sending you somewhere, if you don't get it right, then it's really pretty easy to hold things loosely, because if you view God as this loving parent who and creator who wants us to be well, wants us to flourish, wants us to help each other, then all of the like beliefs about what we're supposed to, how we do that, are pretty like subjective, and like it's going to be different for each of us, and it's a lot easier to just almost enjoy the like, wow, what a cool thing that you experience this way and you pray this way, and when we sing this song you think of God in these ways, and when I sing this song I just think this is really pretty harmonies, and like, you know, I think that it's a lot easier to do that. And so I think for me, it's been a lot easier to accept that part of me who wants to hold things loosely by separating myself and distancing myself from harmful theology that I think is just kind of just flawed at a like fundamental level. And it's easy to kind of, if you've studied the history of the church and everything, it's easy to see where that gets off track and mm-hmm. and why power structures need a hell. And need things to be like black and white, because it's easier to control people that way. And but I think if we remove those pieces as anchors, I think it's actually like a beautiful thing to just like relax in the practice of figuring out like we all believe, like we all are experiencing God in different ways, and let's lean into that and learn from each other. It's a much lighter load, which is kind of what Jesus, it's like, mm-hmm. I don't know how we didn't see it. It's like mm-hmm. Jesus talks about that a lot, right? I instead of having angst about like the that harmful theology, I kind of have an empathy and like a, for folks who are still feeling like very like, I need to, because hell and because like I need to make sure, it's very like hard to watch. Like I want people to be freed from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of ironic to need to be freed from Jesus, like, you know what I mean? Like, or like freed from Christianity. It's very like backwards, like, but to be freed from that theology that just like holds you down instead of sets you free. And so I want that for everyone. And it's definitely been like important for me to like loosen up.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of conversations I've had in therapy before of like, we don't just develop these, maybe not the best coping skills for no reason. Like, that's an opportunity to look at, what am I trying to accomplish by doing this thing that maybe just isn't the best for me? And can I replace instead something that is good for me and is positive and hopeful and brings me into community with people? Like, can I get at the root of what I'm longing for, and can I address it from a different angle? Can I replace what was harmful with something that's really good and helpful and nourishing? Mm. And it also reminds me to this idea of what you're talking about of like openness is a part of tradition. It's not some offshoot to tradition. Like when we look at the way that Jesus taught, or when he was asked questions, how he'd respond, it often wasn't a direct answer. It was through parables and storytelling and asking more questions right back, which I'm sure was super frustrating. But this idea of holding things loosely, you don't just completely drop everything. You're still like holding as part of it. And so there were times when Jesus did teach directly, and it was revolving around love and around justice. So when we loosen our grip, often our attempts at trying to really grip onto control, we're still holding things, but we're holding what is most helpful and beautiful. And I think that that's the piece of like being able to stay so open, is that you don't just absolutely throw everything out the window, because that would be just really, it'd be uncomfortable to not have any type of thing to be tethered to. It'd be really hard to navigate the world without anything that feels grounding and good. So you're still holding things, but I think the openness is just the difference here. And sometimes like what works now in this season is going to be something that you let go of in a different season. Like that posture makes it a lot easier than if you're having to like pry your fingers open to really let go of something. But when you have that empathy to be like, oh, I understand either personally how I got here, or I can look at someone else and say, oh, I understand. Like there's something here that you're longing for, and you're filling that need with something that is either harmful to yourself or harmful to a lot of other people around you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Jesus, I imagine Jesus had a sense that people were prone to weaponize any kind of teaching to their own benefit. And so that's why he spoke in parables and metaphors, because it's harder to weaponize a parable. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I'm thankful that he wasn't super like, well, this is how you do this and this is how you do that, because it would be harder now to like, but I think that's what makes me still feel connected to Jesus as a teacher, and because it's pretty timeless stuff. I mean, it's loose. It's like, it's wide. It's a wide net. And I think we can find peace in that. And it's a good thing to build community around. It's a beautiful thing to have that wideness. And Judy, who was a pastor to both of us, often said the plateau is really wide. Like, there's plenty of space to run. You're not on a pinpoint. Like, you can run and play, and like there's plenty of room. And I think that's a beautiful image of who Jesus is for us.
Yeah, I love that. Just the imagination and the wondering and the curiosity. Mm-hmm. And that music can bring us deeper into that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as we close, is there anything else around these topics, around community, things that you would like to share?
I mean, just thank you for like letting me kind of have this role in the church with you all, and making space for me, for someone like me to lead you in music, even though I don't often, sometimes I'm like, wait, why are we doing this again? which might be disconcerting coming from your worship leader, but I do believe in the power of music, and I'm just so like humbled and thankful to be able to sing songs with you and choose songs that I think will be powerful in this space. And I guess one thing I want to ask is just, I'm kind of curious about how you experience music and how you like, what it means to you. And so just over the next several weeks, as we talk before and after services, it'll be something I'd be interested to hear about, or if you can put it in the Discord, I can read it later, like what it means for you, like how you experience it specifically in the Brown Line context. Like, what are you getting out of this? Cause sometimes I'm like, is anything happening? Or like, you know, cause it's like, we're so spread out in here and so many people are online. And while I'm trying to avoid the thing of like, everybody lift your hands for this next song. Like, that's not what I'm about, but there is a certain like way of like, that's how I used to get feedback of how good the worship was, is like how much people were praising God. And so I don't want that to be the thing that everybody feels like they're supposed to do at all, because that's not how I am when I'm in the congregation. But it does kind of like leave this kind of mysteriousness of like, I don't even know if this is impacting people, but several of you have been very encouraging, you know, and will tell me like, oh, thank you. And that's helpful for me to just know, not for like, so I feel good about my job done, but just so that I know like how it's impacting you and what songs tend to do that. And maybe songs that like maybe even like critical feedback, like, I don't know why we do that song because it's not a very good song or whatever, it's hard to sing or what, you know, like it's helpful to have that feedback. So just know that I'm open to that and I'm figuring it out as I go. Like I'm kind of, we're all making it up, right? So like I would crave that feedback. So thanks for that. Put it in the Discord or talk to me about it sometime. Yeah. I'm very open. Yeah. Thanks, Haley.
Thanks so much, Teal. Can we give Teal a round of applause? So as we close out our message this morning, I wanted to bring us through a little bit of a mindfulness prayer, because like worship music and times of gathering, we often just have times where we're trying to slow down and breathe. All of these things feel just really wide and accessible, and a lot of different avenues to hopefully help you slow down and experience peace. And mindfulness is definitely something that has helped me. I know that for some people, you're not about it. So if you want to just use this time to breathe and to have a moment of stillness, feel free to do that as well. So if you are comfortable participating, I'd invite you to either close your eyes or find a spot somewhere in the room to help focus your gaze, just to kind of be centered for a bit. And you can put your hands out on your lap in front of you with your palms facing up and just take a few deep breaths. Now you can take a moment to scan through your body, starting at the top of your head all the way down to your toes. Just kind of take inventory of how your body is feeling today. Maybe pay attention to any places that feel tense, or if you're having any pain. Try not to judge the tenseness or the pain, just be aware of it. And then I'll actually invite you now to close your hands into fists and tense your muscles throughout your body. God, would you help us to examine what we are holding onto tightly right now? What brings about tenseness and stress and anxiety in our lives? Would we feel that tension? And then I'll invite you to take a deep breath and loosen your muscles. Let go of that tension and open your hands. God, would you help us move through the stress and anxiety, all of our systems trying to cling to control. Move us through those feelings and into something that feels more open. Take a couple of deep breaths here. Amen.